So we're in it. Above, there are a couple of pinned tweets, one of which is the session from 2 weeks ago where we were hanging out and talking. I put these out as podcasts, so if you are interested in hearing the back catalog, they are on Spotify and YouTube and, gosh, I don't know, everywhere else that you can find podcast distribution through Anchor, now Podcasters for Spotify, as well as the Fall of Tataria. That's up there. You guys are welcome to share anything that you want. This is pretty chill. Also, Altered, I don't think you've been up here, so if you would like to speak or hang out, you know, feel free. I'm pretty sure I invited you up. Again, this is, you know, focused on writing, but at the same time, you know, the conversation goes where it goes. And I have a collection of projects that I'm working on. I got an audiobook that I'm trying to get out this month. We'll see if that happens. And then I think I'm going to convert Tartaria into a short story as well, because there's just so much there already in terms of the writing that had to be done. I don't know exactly what the word count is presently, but it won't take a whole lot to kind of convert it over to editorial and kind of beef out what's happening visually in the scenes to words on a page. So I'm probably going to do that. I don't know when the release of that will be. I don't know if it'll be this year at any point, because I have also National Parks Volume 3 that I'm working on as well. I just kind of keep a couple irons in the fire and roll along with stuff as I can. And then also I am formulating the concept for another film short with the crew as well. So that I have not done any image generations, but it's an idea that I've had sitting around for, I don't know, maybe 15 years. Me and a buddy kind of were kicking ideas around and laughing about some nonsense. And I think it would make a pretty good and funny short if I can get it together. And plus, I've always wondered about this one particular component of it, but now I think I've picked the perfect solution for it. So that might happen. We'll see.
Do you happen to follow Black AI? You know that guy?
Oh yeah. No, I go to his Friday sessions.
Oh right. Yes. Yes. So you've heard about what he's doing with Syncretica?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Like that would be something that if you did that with Tataria, I know it would be a gigantic undertaking, because like the scale of that fucking project is insane.
Yeah.
But I really do feel like the way he does the movements and the motions, the volumes, it would work so good for Tataria. And, you know, with all these wonderful people out there who are so into that subject, would be fucking great to like supply them like, yeah, and then Tataria was run by pigs. And then they'll be like, why are you lying to us?
Yeah, I know. Isn't that stuff great, too? So I get, because of the Chicago 1893 project, it has this conspiracy angle in terms of world's fairs that people kind of latch onto about the mud flood and the Great Reset and all these other excellent little pieces of alternative history, mythology type of stuff that I've gone way down that rabbit hole and read all that stuff, which is basically where this short came from. And whenever I do pretty much anything related to the Columbian Exposition now, I get somebody that comes out of the woodwork about Tartaria and mud floods and the Great Reset. And that's basically the kernel of where this short came from. You know, admittedly, I wish I could say I dreamt it all up, but it was more or less like piggybacking on the coattails of those people that have manufactured all of this lore on the internet about this sequence of events that they believe they perceive, and just, you know, ran with it because it's so good. I love it.
Well, I always love American lore history type of shit. Like, you know, oh, you look at the back of the dollar bill, it's the Freemasons. If you look at, you know, this, it's this group. If all these different groups, it's like all hidden throughout our history. It's like, no, they just, you know, it's remix culture. It's just the colonial edition. Right. You know, it's like, oh, we really like French, Greek, Egyptian culture. And, you know, we like all these iconography type of things. And, you know, we're all a bunch of learned ex-British motherfuckers. So, you know, let's put it all over our shit. And then, you know, the, but it always yields such interesting, like, conversation. It's like, oh, you know, this one was, like, a sadist and a Mason. He used to do this. And I'm just like, what does any of that matter? Like, it's not, it doesn't influence anything in society. Like, you know, but then they just, it's the story. And you have to know. And it's good. Just always amazed. I'm like, all right, guys, you know, enjoy. At least you're having fun. You know, that's kind of the point of it.
Well, I mean, if they are having fun with it, yeah. Then if they're like letting the brainworms get to them, then that's a different story. I always get a little bit of both. And for me, I just like how much time people invest into it and being able to read just the wild stuff that they will post on forums and on social and wherever else and create. I mean, like, there are a lot of videos on YouTube about Tartaria and, you know, I get a lot of traffic to the Chicago 1893 stuff that's on YouTube from playlists and folks that are interested in those topics. And to be able to have created this short and, you know, written it and play it to all those angles and release it for them, I guess, to a degree, has been awesome. Hey, what's up, Wally? This is a writer's space. You are free to come and hang out. I'll pass you an invite. You know, you can promote anything that you are working on. You can ask questions, talk shop. You know, the nest is there. Or if you don't want to, you're welcome to put questions into the pill, and I will check that and we'll address those topics as well. Hey, what's up? You're on here. You are live. Welcome to Twitter, X, whatever you like. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? Yeah, my bad. I'm still trying to get my headphones here together. One sec.
Oh, yeah. All good. Yeah, no rush. I assume you're a writer. Let me look at your profile. I didn't even look or anything. Oh, cybersecurity, sociology, enthusiast, writer, right on there, creative. Yeah, perfect. Yeah, you know, welcome. We do this every 2 weeks. I don't think I've seen you here before. Maybe on a different account or something. But, you know, every 2 weeks I host this thing and, you know, happy to kick around ideas or answer questions if I know something that's valuable for you. I've got a collection of publications out. I don't know, 5 or 6 books. I do the audio books as well. I do all the layout. I do the readings, do the audio editing, the graphics, you know, everything. So I'm not necessarily, you know, big lit or anything, big publishing, but I have amassed at least a decent amount of experience over the last 5 years.
Yeah, no, it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah, it's good to meet you guys. I've been trying to find a lot of these writing spaces, and this was just kind of one that I saw. I think it was Stephanie that introduced me to some of these spaces around here. So it's really good to know that there are some writers out here that like to share some information. And I'm writing my first book, so it's been a journey, to say the least.
So, what are you putting together?
It's kind of where I'm at. So it's a book. It's called Validation of Millennials. Basically speaking about every generation in it, but at the end of the day, it leaves in the question, and spoke a lot with my editor about this, convinced me to actually do this. It leaves the question to the audience as to, is this the direction that we're trying to head to? You know, present the facts, place my twist, and then leave the audience to decipher, is this where we want to go?
Very cool. How far along with it are you? And when do you project to put it out?
So that's a great question. was supposed to have already been out beginning of this year. A lot of things that happened personally, of course, but I'm foreseeing it. And I don't really want to put a complete deadline, because honestly, at this point, whenever it does come out, but I would love to have it done by fall.
Awesome.
Completed.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah. I think, you know, for me, a lot of my stuff is shorter. It's not, I've never written a novel. I don't have any books that are over 150 pages, and a lot of them are heavily pictorial. And, you know, I'm a pretty concise writer. It takes a lot for me to write fiction. Luckily, you know, trying to get a little bit better at it and practicing as I have time. Yeah, I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, you're welcome to post up anything that you have of your writing or anything like that. The other folks that are here, you know, you're welcome to come up too. If you would like to ask questions or promote your work or just hang out and talk, this is a super casual space. We do it every 2 weeks. Gonzalo had his space last night, but cut it short. And I think he was looking to do a little bit of a addendum to that maybe today. You're welcome to do that as well. This is pretty free form. Yeah, I got you. I see the request. Yeah, come on up. I think, oops, click the wrong person. Yeah, let's see. Gotcha. Now you're here. Welcome to Twitter. Welcome to writing, publishing, and authorship. Go ahead. Hang on. Oh, you're still connecting. I see. There you go. Welcome back. You know, if you have anything that you want to talk about or promote or ask, you know, feel free.
Is it good morning or good afternoon?
It's another good day. You know, where are you at?
Yeah, good day. Yeah. Okay, my name is Daniel. I just saw the title of the space, Writing, Publishing, and Authorship. I think that's because I'm following Wally. Wally, good evening. So I just decided to hook up on the space and, you know, learn a bit from it.
Yeah.
I've been writing for quite some time now, but unfortunately never got to complete any book until 2023, towards the end, where I decided I was going to finish one book. I started by December. Yeah. Started by December, and I completed it in January 2024.
Wow, congrats.
Thank you. The book has been with a friend who is reviewing it, a senior colleague, yeah.
Very
somebody
cool.
I look up to.
Do you want to tell us about it, what it is? Is it fiction, nonfiction?
Okay, so my first book was fiction. Unfortunately, I have not published the book up till now, but currently I'm not good with fiction any longer. I prefer nonfiction.
Sure.
Because I think, given my own practical experience, giving things that are real life makes it easier for me. And I relate more with nonfiction, and I read more of nonfiction. In fact, I don't read fictional books. Fictional novels. I don't read them. I do mostly nonfiction. Okay, I think Wally wants to talk.
Yeah, go ahead. This is a small space. You don't have to raise your hand.
Yeah. No, just being respectful. But yeah, I did have a question. So one part that I am struggling with, and I had to talk to, so with Audible, the one thing that they would not let me do, which is use my own voice. They kind of wanted to use their own, and that was kind of a problem for me. Do you have any other suggestions as to, or any anywhere else that maybe I could go with that they would place on their, maybe their platform to, well, me to actually use my own voice, I think is the main thing for me.
That shouldn't be an issue at all, because I do all my own readings and I use Audible. It's the ACX platform. basically you just load up the files and you name the narrator, you name it as yourself, your author as yourself. And I have never had any conflict with that. I've never had any issues loading up files. They even do a nice kind of technical check on your files to make sure that there's enough dead space at the beginning and the end. I believe they are also looking for each chapter to be named at the beginning. And then the last thing, and probably the most technical aspect of loading that up, is that your like volume is good, your compression is good, and that you're kind of inside of this window that they will approve. And they'll give you notes on every single track that you load up. So if one of them has an issue, it'll only flag that one track. It won't flag like all 10 or whatever. Or if you have two issues on one track and one on the others, it'll tell you that too. So you shouldn't have a problem using your own voice. I do my own readings. I do all my own readings. In fact, I've even read other people's material that was public domain and loaded that up to ACX, which is released through Audible as well as Apple. I'm pretty sure you get onto Apple through ACX too. I would not believe that there should be any catch for that. There's, to my knowledge, no issue there.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. And so I think this is more of a personal thing that I need to talk to my editor about, because this is what she's explained to me. And so, I figured it should just be that.
Yeah, did you sign up?
I think that it would be that much of a problem. Yeah.
You did? Did you ever load files?
I haven't loaded anything up there yet. Yeah.
Okay. No, you shouldn't have any issues there. If your editor was telling you that you need to use somebody else, then my guess is maybe she's just not as familiar with it. Now, there is an option to hire a narrator, a reader, and they'll basically let you shop out your project on ACX to the people that are members there. But you don't have to do that. Like I said, I never have. I do all my own readings. I've got a decent mic and a decent audio setup. And I've been using the same one for the last 5-6 years that I've been doing the readings for that, and have never, besides some of the little compression tweaks and stuff like that for headroom, I have never had any issues getting a book approved through ACX to go out on Audible and Amazon and Apple Books. And none of them have ever been rejected. And I've got, I don't know, 5 or 6 up there now. It's like we got a question. Oh, the pen. Nice. Yeah, cool. Yeah, for sure. Here, I'll post that up. You can put it up here too. So Wally was sharing a community. That's super cool for sure. We like all that stuff, networking and getting the word out.
Yeah, I definitely want to connect with as many writers as possible around here. I dropped that down there. It was very interesting last night. I was in a space and they were asking kind of similar questions about like the books and that I may be writing or whatever. But there was a guy who told me he was inspired ever since I've dropped this community, and I was kind of shocked, to be honest. So if I can help the next person, whatnot, then hell, I'll do it.
Yeah, for sure. That's the whole thing too. So when Clubhouse was popular, I did a group for authors and promotion on there with a few other folks for, I don't know, maybe 6 months. We would do it a couple times a week. I didn't have to do any of the scheduling or anything like that, or any of the maintenance, and I wasn't required to be there the whole time or record or anything like that. So it was very low commitment on my end, but at least I got to participate and learn some stuff from the folks that would kind of run through that scene. This is very different than that. But at the same time, it is nice when you have a little bit of exposure into the collective of people. And, you know, this, a lot of people are focused on books. I'm not just focused on books. I do books, but I write a lot of other stuff too. Above, you know, you'll see the last short film I put out. That counts as writing to me. Screenwriting, screenplays, writing audio, writing songs, writing poetry. It all kind of counts to me. Writing tweets. There's a lot of commercial work out there that's available. I've worked with a slew of clients in a bunch of different industries and in terms of even cybersecurity stuff over the years, and telecom and everything in between, healthcare and retail and all the rest. And, you know, copy editing, copywriting, social promotions, promotions in general, marketing at large. There's a lot you learn from that, and there's a lot you can kind of bring over to what you're doing in terms of promoting the work that you're putting out and that you're creating that you care about, that's not necessarily client focused or brand focused. Now on the, to build off of that, I do have a couple of marketing books out as well. They're on personal branding and content marketing strategy for businesses. But to me, in terms of the lessons, cause they're kind of workbooks, the carryover between those things is very similar. It's, the way that you apply building a content strategy, whether or not it's for yourself or for something professional, basically looks the same. When I'm writing, whether it is for, no matter what it's for, I throw my ideas on the page or into Notepad, and it might just be a couple of words. It could be a couple of phrases. I try and build them into sentences. I start to turn it into paragraphs. I try to get some kind of arc that's narrative out of those things to tell a story, and you know, keep building on it, keep fleshing it out, start doing editing and revising things as they are or aren't working. Or if you have something that really clicks either with a client or yourself, then you, maybe you go down that avenue in your work or together with the people that you're with and see what starts to really hit. And I think that regardless of what medium you are working in, the process is very much the same. Hey, what's going on? If you're new here, see Trey, you're welcome to come up. We were actually just talking copywriting. I'll pass you an invite. And if you'd like to hang out and talk shop or promote anything, you are more than welcome to do that. This is a super casual spot. Yeah. Daniel, go ahead.
All right. So I don't know if somebody have experience publishing on Amazon, because I'm planning on doing Amazon self KDP, that is self-publishing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I've done, I've done a few.
If someone have.
So what is your question in general or specific?
Yeah, there is no really specific question. I just need someone who can walk me through the process, because watched a couple of YouTube videos. I've watched a couple of YouTube videos, although I think I have an idea of how it is done. Mm-hmm. But we probably need someone who has done it before, like, so that he can explain, this is what we do. And probably on the day I'll be doing it, I should be able to get the guidance. I have made the corrections from the editor. Mm-hmm. The editor has proofread the book. The copy is with me. All the corrections have been made. Just waiting to upload the book now.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to DM me and maybe we can line up a time?
Oh, that will be fine. That will be fine. I will do that.
Cool. Yeah, because it's a little more involved than walking you through verbally. We kind of want to be looking at that at the same time as you're doing it. And I'm in the middle of this and also recording and trying to field questions and stuff. So it might be a little bit more than I can handle while doing this session, but happy to help you in that sense. You know, it is a pretty easy platform. They've streamlined it as much as I believe that they can. There are some new aspects that they're kind of checking in about in regards to artificial intelligence, whether it's being used for editorial or pictorial content in your manuscript or cover. But in that sense, I don't think they're restricting anything. I think they're just asking to see how much is there, because, you know, I've used AI for covers and images in the last two releases that I've done, both in ebook, paperback, and audiobook, and they've all gone through and been released. What's up, Gonzalo?
Although I think I've paid somebody to design the cover page already. I'm not using AI. I'm just using purely some of my experience and some of my research, what I've read over time, and then some things that I've worked for me and some things that I've seen that have worked for people. So basically, I wrote the book for people who set goals and at the end of the day don't get to realize those goals. Now, there are so many books out there that talks about goal setting generally, but I think I narrowed it down to specifically leaders and entrepreneurs. So it's just, the book is simply called Beyond Pen and Paper.
Yeah, cool. Sounds good to me. You know, happy to talk more about it as it comes along, you know. So I'd say keep me posted. I feel like I did something wrong. I was trying to share the writing session thing, but I feel like maybe I didn't successfully do that. Hey, what's up, Monica? You are welcome to come and hang out if you want. If you want to talk about writing or promote any work you're releasing. I know you're a photographer, but at the same time, gosh, you know, doesn't that lead to all kinds of different stuff? Gonzalo, I know you were up here and you were going to talk for a second, but, you know, feel free.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. Now I was just saying, hey, I was in the listener section for a while before, because I was just finishing up some voiceover work stuff that I was had to finish editing. So I just got done sending that up. So I'm a little freer to talk now.
Yeah, very cool.
What's up?
Yeah, just hanging out. You know, I know your space got cut short last night, but you know, that's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. I just had to call in. I was like, you know what? This is just, you know, screw it. And I was already considering that when like at the beginning, before you came in, it was just Danny, and Danny never likes to talk on Spaces. I don't know what it is with him in Spaces, but he's always like, he'll talk in Discord. He talks up a storm in the VCs, and he's always there in the chat and stuff. But for some reason, he's got something against Spaces, so he'll come in and listen and hang out, but just in the listener section. And then you came in, and so it was what I was saying. It was just him for a good long while, right? And then you came in a few minutes later. And you mentioned, you know, I don't want to put it all on one person either, right? And you mentioned, like, you know, checking out for a while, then maybe hopping out. So I was like, maybe today's not the day.
That's
right. All right. That's fine. I was saying, I've been ever since my first space, which was in like October, like the last few days of September. I always kind of considered the possibility of, you know, It's this thing that I do to help fight off the fear as you start to host the space. You know, what if no one comes? I just kind of picture it. You know, what if no one comes? And, you know, I'll just stop the recording. I'll just stop the space. You know, move on with my life. And so when it happens, it's not like, oh my God, no one came. And it was kind of my fault. I just completely forgot to schedule it and tell people about it and stuff. So yeah, it's fine. There's always next week.
There is always next week. Yeah, for sure. Monica, what's up? You're on the stage. You're hanging out.
Yeah, I was busy writing so hard that I forgot what time it was. And I was like, oh, no.
Oh, geez. What were you writing? What were you working on?
Oh, I'm just working on a proposal.
Okay, that counts.
Yeah, it's, you know, you do put all your heart and soul in proposals, don't you?
You know, you do. You know, begging for affirmations and reciprocity in those grants and things, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, in order to get something done that you need to get done or you desire to get done, it's like you have to put out, whether you put it out into the universe in your journal, or whether I put it out into the universe in my journal or actually to real people. You know, I do a lot more of the journal thing, and it's like, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want to happen. This is where I'd like to go. How can you help me? You know, and then it gets easier to, and then sometimes it, you know, it happens or it doesn't happen, and it gets easier just to write everything you want in any other proposal that you're actually submitting to a real person, because the end result is almost less than how I express what I need or want from what I'm applying to. I've done so many applications, have been rejected from so many, and it's never bothered me, I guess, because it's like, oh, well, you know, I dream, I submit it, and then I have this dream like, oh, this is going to happen. And then when I get the rejection, it's like, okay, put that dream aside. Let's get to the next one immediately, because it's just a waste of energy to be upset about things. But yeah, I mean, I've never really published anything, but I have the desire to, and I just love the idea that you host this room, and that listening to your video, I got so much information. And you know, I did read, like, I want to write a screenplay, I want to write a book.
Which video?
The video that I think it was your latest video, or no, the latest one before the one you just posted, I think. But you know, what I learned just from myself was actually, it doesn't matter whether, like, if I want to make a film, if I want a film to be made and I want to write a screenplay, it's just more important to get the IP out there and on a platform. Whether or not it sells doesn't matter, because it still has value. If I'm able to, I don't even know how to write a screenplay, but I know how to write, I could write a book. Yeah. So if I wrote that first and put it up, you know, for sale or where, or on the blockchain, wherever it is, it's published. And then, you know, from there, I could use that as my IP. It doesn't matter if anybody reads it. And that's what I realized, like, oh my God, it does. I don't have to go through all this rigmarole of trying to get everything done. I can do one little thing, publish it, and then go from there to, creating the screenplay, which comes from the IP. Like, publishing a book is too hard, I think, too much time consuming, considering, you know, I'm just older and it's like, I don't have time. So anyway, I just am happy that you have this space and that you have all those videos for me to look at.
Well, you know, you're free to watch any of the stuff that's up there, or hang out and talk shop, ask questions. I want to offer the other folks hanging out in the gallery, Nick, I know you, Ice, you've been here before. I recognize your handle. You're welcome to come up and talk. This is a very open session. It is recorded. I do release them every 2 weeks. I try to release them the few days before the next live session. I know we got a couple hands up, so I think, Daniel, I think you were first, and then Gonzalo, but, you know, chime in as you see fit.
Okay, so I just wanted to ask Monica, you said you publish your work in journals, am I right?
I only write journals, I don't publish my journals, they're just private to me, but I've been doing it since I'm 59 now, and I was probably 11 or 12, and I still have those from when I first started. So I have a whole lifetime of journals, and that's how I best process stuff.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. Okay. That was what I wanted to confirm quickly.
Actually, my question was for Monica too, because Monica, you mentioned that you're writing a screenplay and you know how to write a book, you've written a book before, but you don't know how to write a screenplay. So I'm curious what you mean by that, because like, you know, writing a book, writing a screenplay, writing, I don't know, like a comic book, writing a whatever, short story, they're very, sure, you know, they're very different formats, but to me, it's all story, right? So what, I was curious to know what you mean by, like, if you could write the novel version of the story that you're doing, but not the screenplay version, can you, like, wanted to know more about that?
Okay, sure. Yeah. I've taken screenwriting classes, and what I have a problem with is the structure. Like, it's just totally different to write a narrative where there's no, there's no thinking about the smallest amount of words that could express something that's going on. Mostly I share, you know, visuals and everything in my other writing, but with screenplays, it's really being able to say what the person, the dialogue has to work for the actor. And so when you're, as I've done acting before, so I understand that the words are like, except for a play, when a screenplay, the words are so limited. It's mostly how the words are interpreted by the actor. So I guess I probably have some kind of, I don't know what the word would be, but impediment to relaxing and just letting the words speak from the person instead of trying to manipulate it myself.
So it's more about, so what I'm hearing is that it's a pretty big hurdle going from being able to narrate, let's say, for example, the character's thoughts and feelings, right, to putting it on the screen. Because you can't put thoughts on the screen, right? You have to figure out a way to show something that can be filmed that represents what that character is thinking, what that character is feeling, what it's like for them, right?
Exactly. And then you're limited by the fact that in a screenplay, you can't put the emotions in there. You can't say, oh, this person should behave this way. It's really up to, you know, the director to decide how your words are going to be portrayed. So, you know, it just seems insurmountable in a way, you know, because there's so much structure. And I'm used to in my journal, like having absolutely no structure whatsoever. And I look at all these films that I love so much, and so much happens in just in people's faces and the close-ups, and how to reverse engineer. So you mentioned comics. I think comics are a really, really good way. I like to use comics that I can just write what they're thinking and saying and feeling in one little block, and that's easy. Yeah. So maybe that would be. Thanks for bringing that. Maybe that would be the strategy, is just to make a comic first and then the screenplay.
Yeah, which functions basically as a storyboard in a lot of ways.
And you can cheat a little bit and have the narrator tell you what they're thinking, or have, you know, thought bubbles, right? Just be careful not to overdo it, because comics are a very visual medium. But it could be a way out. What kind of story have you written, or are you writing?
Well, it's kind of like my own life story, but in not biography form. So it's a redemption story, basically.
Nice.
Trauma, you know, but redemption at the end, like life is good at the end, basically. But I think it's a different story. It's not been shown before, believe it or not.
So is it like a fiction story that's based on what's happened to you, or is it basically your story told through like in movie, for like somebody made a movie of Monica's life or something, or is it like fictional but it's based on?
It's definitely fictional.
Yeah. Okay. You know, a lot of fiction is like that. Like we take bits and pieces of our lives, the lives of people we know, and in order to get the character really down, you know, to make the character really, really human and real and what's the word? And that's reliable. Jesus, the words are escaping me now. When everyone can connect with them emotionally. What is this? This word is escaping me. Someone help me.
Resonate?
Yes. A character that people can resonate with. It has to come from something really real, you know, something honest and raw and vulnerable, and that comes from real life. And that's, I think that's one of the hardest things to nail down about writing. If you are brave enough to put your own worst fears, your deepest fears and flaws into a character, and let, you know, put it out there for the world to see, and maybe figure out that it's based on you and not care, or like, you know, just, you know, take it on the chin. That's one of the bravest things that we can do as writers. And it doesn't matter if you put it in a movie, like on a screenplay or in a comic book or in a novel, it's still there, you know, it's still in the character. I think it's something that you can that you, it's a hurdle that you can, like, you know, put it into a screenplay. It's a hurdle that you can jump over. It is, it's not impossible. But maybe, yeah, like you said, maybe it's, maybe a comic book format is more suited for you. It depends on really what calls out to you most, right? What you really want to, like, if your passion is to put the words on the page and let the reader, like, let your audience be a reader reading with you the emotions and you know, you have these descriptions in your mind that you want to get out, then write the novel, just leave it as a novel. But if you want to be more visual, you know, it's really up to you. But the story of the character and their arc and what they go through and their transformation and getting, like, your message out there, that that's mediumless, you know. It doesn't matter what medium. You can have an arc like that in any type of story. I've gone from movies to short stories to theater to books. It doesn't have to comic.
I want to give Chris a second to chime in here, because I feel like he probably has some things to offer.
Yeah. So what I would recommend, number one, is have you read many screenplays, Monica? Like, do you have a collection that you've read, or somebody you like that who's written a screenplay?
I have read screenplays, yes, and but probably not enough. Like, one of the ones I like the most is Ryan. What was that movie with the mystery movie that he did, Ryan?
The guy who did Looper, and he also made Glass Onion. And I forgot the first movie, but I know who you're talking about. I'm a big fan of his, for sure.
Yeah.
Ryan Johnson.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. So I love the way he writes. I resonate with that.
Well, so the reason why I ask is, like, you were talking about structure earlier, and I used to harp a lot. I'm more of a filmmaker than an author in general. I used to harp a lot about structure. And then the two writers that I read that kind of broke me out of that was, number one, Quentin Tarantino. Because if you read any of his scripts, they're fucking structureless. They're, like, ridiculously structureless. They have great dialogue. It's absolutely amazing. But nothing falls in the traditional sense of where it should. And it's not written in a way that a lot of people really, like, that a director would want to read it. It's written in a way like he knew he was going to make it, so he wrote himself notes. The other, and you've probably read it, but I think it would work for a lot of what you're thinking, just because of how meditative the writer is. Have you ever read Waiting for Godot by Beckett?
Yeah, I was. I actually worked on that play.
Oh, Yahtzee. Yeah, I saw it twice. Once with Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart, and that was, like, the pinnacle of my theatrical experience, because seeing those two actors do those two roles was absolutely fucking amazing. But, you know, that, and there's also, he also has To Serve God, I think, is the other one. And it's very meditative in its own way. And I think that, like, if you try and use that as inspiration, I think you'll find a way to, like, get to what you want. I'd also recommend reading the script Moon. It was a movie with Sam Rockwell, directed by David Bowie's son. And it's essentially a one-man play. But you kind of, like, you can kind of see how a character could almost converse with himself. And there's Adaptation is another movie where it's a writer's movie. It's a writer writing about his own writing. So it's another thing to, like, kind of explore. And then the last thing I would say is 100%, the one thing that I've always had writers, like, use to get out of whatever funk they are and what they want to write, as far as jumping from novel to screenplay, is just lean into genre a little bit and see if there's a genre that's a great shield for what you want to say, and then use that as your kind of methodology to get there. It's something I think is a really solid idea.
Wow, thank you both for all this amazing feedback. Thank you.
Daniel, you got your hand raised. Were you thinking something?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I have to go attend to something, but I've sent you a DM. I'll just keep in touch. Once you end the space, we'll talk more, because I'm planning on making sure that the book comes out early next month, so that I'll make sure all the specifications are met, everything is in order. So I've sent you a DM already.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you. Yeah. Again, you know, to the people hanging out, if you're looking to come up and you have time to chat, If you're looking to promote things, if you're looking to talk shop, if you're looking to ask questions of the folks that are here, this is your chance. Chime in, you know, participate and hang out. We do this every 2 weeks. Very happy to see the folks that turned out today, and new faces and familiar faces alike.
Yeah, I guess just kind of a quick question. I guess this goes to anyone here. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what would you guys say was the hardest part in the developmental process in editing? Would you say just coming up with the content or the ideas, or, you know, just throughout the process, what would be the hardest part that you guys had to encounter?
I'm a terrible editor. I'm going to just put that right up front. I'm bad at it. There are three editions of the Chicago 1893 book, because every time I read it, I find stuff that I don't like that's happening in there and I change it. And so because of that, basically I will place new pictures, or I find typos, and I'm probably a good developmental editor, but I'm not a good grammar editor. So I turn on Grammarly, and even still, sometimes that catches things that I don't like. Sometimes it doesn't catch things that it probably should. If there are better editors than me, I would say if you really need help with that, hire a grammar editor, somebody who's really focused on word craft. In terms of idea development, I feel like ideas come from everywhere. I don't have a shortage of that. It's more a shortage of time, but I feel like everybody kind of deals with that to a degree. Nick, what's up?
Good afternoon. Hello.
Good afternoon. Welcome back.
The hardest part. Thank you very much. I really liked the recent video you put out. I was curious to pick your brain if it was meant to be an allegory of any sorts, what you're getting at behind there. But I wanted to come up, we could talk about that later, but I wanted to reply to Wally. For me, the hardest part is being objective with your own work, like reading it, trying to find the eyes of somebody who hasn't read it before. You have an idea, an imagination, and you put it onto paper and you know what's going on. And it's hard though to know how an independent third party objective reader is seeing it. It's just really hard for me to be like objective with my own work. So I had a friend recently, I sent him a draft of something I'm working on. And there were so many markups, and I was shocked because I thought I had this pretty well ironed out, but almost all the markups I completely agreed with. For me, it was like about tagging, which is like making sure that the he said, like who's talking, who's in the scene, just kind of like orientation for the reader when you're doing dialogue. I didn't have enough tags in there, and so he was kind of confused when he was reading. Is like, okay, who's talking when you're writing the dialogue? And a lot of times I'll read a book and there will be two characters going back and forth, and there's not a tag. There's not, Gandalf said, Frodo said, Gandalf said, Frodo said. Instead, Tolkien would just like write the dialogue, and from the context who's talking. And so, I would leave tags out a lot of times. But again, it's because I know who's talking. The image is in my head, but it's not in the reader's head. And so just like being clear. So that's just one example, for me, like the tagging, but more broadly, it's being objective with your own writing. I don't know. Well, I was just saying, I don't know exactly how to do that, but I found if you can just find a friend who's actually a good writer, who's willing to put in the time to help you be that objective set of eyes, that was huge for me to overcome that editing hurdle. I feel like I'm a good copy editor, like picking up on punctuation, and typos and things like that. But you know, there's a lot of aspects to editing, and it's hard to be objectively good at all the aspects. So just getting a spotter, you know, to me, that's like how you overcome, that difficulty. But I don't know. I mean, you know, like I said, you have these images in your head and you know what you're doing. And so it's hard to put yourself in a different reader's shoes, or I guess in their glasses maybe, or you know, like their mindset when they're reading. It's really difficult. That, and it's hard. Not only just being like self-critical. I've got plenty of ability to be self-critical when something sucks, just deleting like paragraphs. But you know, it's all the other things that go along with it too. So if anyone else has thoughts about how to get better at that, I'm all ears.
This is one thing I would recommend is beta readers, right? And developing a collection of folks who will review your material, read it as it's coming along, and offer their feedback while you're still developing the story. And that can be done on a whole cloth basis, or it could be done chapter by chapter, or maybe you kind of flip things around between a couple different people, you know, whatever whatever you need, or whatever kind of makes sense for your process or the material that you're working on. I would highly recommend having beta readers for the editing process, but also just the kind of community aspect of things as well. Getting another set of eyes on there.
I was about to jump in because you said it's a small space. Sorry, but then Chris put up his hand. I'll wait. Go ahead.
Oh, bro. This, you're an author. I'm definitely not. I'm just going to, I don't have anything really useful, so go for it.
That's cool. Thanks. So like I've been listening to you, Wally, about talking about your troubles with dialogue, and you're right, it's very annoying to both write and read he said, she said, he said, she said, all over the place, right? And you know who's saying what. But I think that the thing that you can, and this is not a quick fix, but I think it's a good direction to kind of aim in when you're writing dialogue. Two things to keep in mind, right? This is from like the books that I've read and that have never gotten lost, you know, really well written and that have never gotten lost as far as who's saying what. A little trick is kind of like a hack is to use small actions that a character is doing, like small little actions by the character, like, you know, so-and-so perked up. What do you mean we have to go the long way, right? So now you know that so-and-so is saying, what do you mean we have to go the long way, right? Little things like that, instead of saying said and asked and inquired and, you know, looking at your thesaurus every 5 minutes to find more words, that's horrible, right? But if you use little actions so that it's kind of like if it was a movie, it's like the camera panning over to the character and cutting to that character because you see what they're doing. They're perking up, or they're like crumpling up a piece of paper, or like taking a puff of their cigarette, whatever it is they're doing. Now my attention is on them, and whoever says the next line, I assume that it's them. Right? That's kind of that's more like a little trick, and it's like a little kind of mini skill to get at to get better at over time. Another thing that I would say is really to have clear what's happening in the scene and how each character really speaks. And this is kind of the biggest thing. Like if your character's voices are too similar, then that's really the thing you need to work on. Not how to tag their dialogue, but develop their voice a little bit more, because you'll know how each character speaks. In most cases, you should know who's speaking just by the way they're talking and by what's happening in the scene. Like if you know that character X is complaining about how long it's going to take to ride to so-and-so place, to whatever place, then when someone says, but, you know, but I'm hungry and we haven't eaten yet and it's going to take all day, you know it's so-and-so who's saying that. You know what I mean? Like character X is saying that because they're the ones who are worried about how long it's going to take to get there. And we're discussing, you know, the best way to get to this place. Those are the two things that I wanted to put in there. I don't know what else Chris wanted to jump in with.
No, those are
good. I'm sure it's more. Thanks. Yeah, but I'm sure that Chris's points are more valuable than he's letting on. So go for it.
So the reason why I delayed is I never know how anyone's going to take that what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it because that's who I am. I don't know how you feel about AI, but if you haven't used one that you think is particularly good, I would say to try out Claude, Claude.ai. Because two things. Number one, it has a gigantic context window. What that means is you can put a gigantic file in there. I forgot what the context window is. It's something like, I think it's 10,000 tokens, which is a shitload.
More than that.
I was trying to be conservative because yeah. I think it's 100.
Yeah, I think it's 100.
So it was one of those things like I'm being conservative just in case you get there and you're like, ah, shit, you know, it's too few. If you have 200,000 words, I'm sorry. But there's a good thing to kind of learn about prompting that. So like you can have something like, you know, if you have two pieces of dialogue, you can have it do analysis because analysis is one of the best things that AI is capable of. I don't really stand by generation as far as text, but as far as analysis, it's absolutely dynamite. And I do this with screenplays. I do this with, copy. I do it with a bunch of things where I have it analyze it. I ask it questions. Whatever I'm having trouble with, I kind of utilize it that way and see where if it gets me a little further. But it's one of those things like do it in with an enormously small grain of salt, you know, like the real fine stuff, not anything coarse, not kosher salt, like real fine. And that's the thing that I kind of feel like helps a little bit. Because for some things, I use it mostly for image generation, but there are times where I'm at a block and I'm just like, what sounds more authentic? If this character did this or if this character did that. And, you know, knowing how to prompt that properly, sometimes you get gold. Sometimes.
Just real quick, for the folks that are new in here, if I don't know you, you know, you're welcome to come up and hang out, chat with the folks that are here, ask questions, promote your work. This is... whatever you need it to be, I would say in that sense. So don't feel like there's any particular angle on this space. We do this every 2 weeks and it goes where we all like it to go. Quickly, just to jump back to something Nick was talking about, is Tartaria an allegory? I would say so. You know, it's based on, I would say, you know, the myth of Atlantis. I kind of mix in some internet underside mythos in regards to the conspiracy of Tartaria and World's Fairs in there. You know, it's got a Renaissance or classical kind of look to some of the style, stuff like that. So yeah, I would say it kind of goes in some of those angles, but you know, because of when the World's Fairs were, I had to set that at least before those so that the ending would make sense. What's up, Chris?
Don't lie to us, bro. Why are you, who's paying you to lie to us? I can't believe it.
Yeah. I got a great comment earlier on that.
So the other thing I would say about what I like about Tartaria is the whole, like, so there's this book I have called Giants in America, and it's basically a whole book about alternate history, but it's not really alternate. It's basically the stuff that's right on the cusp of not being proven. You know, like there's a burial mound in the middle of Minnesota that only kind of exists in the Vikings of old, but the Vikings didn't come here till a recorded history has it a different time than one part of history. But this burial mound exists. It's there. And it has people of Nordic descent. So, you know, it's one of those things. There's also the Florida Atlantis, which is why when you started talking about Tartaria, I was just like, this sounds so much like Florida Atlantis. And it has so much of a similar story to it. And this is why I was, you know, when you were kind of talking about ideas and stuff, like beside that, I love 1893 and that whole situation. When you were talking about this, I was like, bro, this is so, there needs to be more stories like that. Just because there's that, it's not even, and it's the conspiracy theory people, whatever. It's that little slice where it's right almost at the edge of what history could be, you know, but then it just jumps off into that weird bismuth fucking gem shit. you know, so it's like, I love both of those things, but that's what I just think is so valuable about that idea.
Yeah, there's like a few different things kind of mixed in there in that way. So I'm not a strong fiction writer. It's something that's new for me. So I kind of look at a couple different things and mix them together and try and turn it into something that works. Hopefully, you know, I feel like it, at least on this one, you know, it came together decently. You know, there's, like I said, a handful of things I would change, but that's just the nature of Monica. What's up?
Yeah, I was just curious if it could be like a proof of concept for you for to like show it to someone else as something that could be, you know, made into like a Marvel movie or something. Because that's what it reminded me of, something that was really adventure, you know, overcoming odds and all those kinds of things.
Everybody died, Monica.
No, but it doesn't have to. But it doesn't have to. But it doesn't have to end that way. I saw that.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that, Monica, you made me so fucking happy right now with what you just said. Because working on this with Michael, and I wish Sherry could hear this, like, that's kind of the idea we're going for. And he pitched us, like, the several different title cards, and the one we didn't pick, the one he picked. And when he picked it, I was against it initially, and then he showed me why he picked it, and I was like, this is on the fucking money right here. But yeah, bro, that's if that's not Michael's idea, I can assure you that's my idea. So I'm pushing it in many different circles as well, because I really do think stories like that could sell, especially with that, like, it's the history part that really just kind of like rounds it out so nicely.
Well, I think I see her as someone that would have survived that. Like, when all that stuff happened, I was like, okay, this is only the beginning. Like, there's people that survived this and that are gonna, you know.
Well, it's like how does that story survive itself? Like, how do we know that story? Somebody would have to have survived with something. That's so it's like,
right,
you know.
I like that. But, you know, I sort of saw it as like, just, you know, that when, what is the word? When things like this, fall, when places like Rome, when they fall, it's like, there's still something that moves forward afterwards. And it's like the fall of the empire usually leads to, humility and a beginning of a new, you know, the cycle of decadence.
Spring that always leads... follows the fall.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it could be emerging out of the ashes. That's just a thought.
Yeah. I feel like there's a lot to potentially develop further or to expand, you know, given an infinite amount of time. It could be a much longer story. There could be many more characters. There could be a lot more kind of segues and interludes and things like that, and development of the relationships and the setting and everything else.
And the world fairs.
And the world
fairs. You can't forget that whole part. That's a really, really cool thing. Like, imagine doing that shit, period pieces like that. Ah.
Yeah, 100%.
And just the fact that probably the gem survived, you know, like that alone.
Yeah, you know, that's, I haven't really put a whole lot into, I guess, some of the potential symbolism that's there. And because there's so many little pieces of stuff, and it's only 5.5 minutes long. So to be able to give not only the people or the elements more life or more screen time, you know, I was hammering on this to get it out within the just over 2 weeks. And I had in my mind, I was like, I'm going to release this on Monday, April Fool's Day, which is a fantastic day for the folks that get into mud flood stuff and like those conspiracies. I just feel like that was fitting. But yeah, if you have more time, you know, you can keep hitting generate and keep writing and everything. To the folks that are hanging out, that are new, Julianne, you've been here before. You're welcome to come up. Karen, we know you. Open story. I feel like that is Brian, probably, you know. Yeah, you're welcome to come up and promote your Discord group and stuff like that. I think I'm recognizing the correct icon. It's a little bit small on Discord for me, so I'm not totally sure that's the same thing. But yeah, all of the same, you know, do come up, do talk shop, do ask questions of the folks that are here hanging out, or promote your work. This is that kind of place. Yeah, here we go. We got him. He's coming up. Hello and welcome back. You are now on the stage. Feel free to kick around any ideas you like.
Yeah, I was just kind of joining in and saw the writing, publishing, and authorship. And I've just been working through the Discord server, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I would say post a tweet up there for us.
Yeah, so I've been working on the Discord server and just kind of been building that over the last week or so. Let me try to put this in somewhere.
I pinned it up for you to the top.
Why don't you tell folks generally what it is too, because it's, I haven't necessarily prefaced it all that well. I just saw you pop in, but yeah, why don't you give us a little bit of the elevator pitch on what you're doing?
Yeah. Well, good question.
What are you doing over there?
I started with, just wanting to get my screenplay out. Just got to get it out from my hard drive. That was the original intention. And then AI came out and I kind of used AI to sort of help go through my screenplay from just as a collaborator. And that just, it just kind of tumbled from there. Then I got into GitHub and then I started playing around with Creative Commons and learning about Creative Commons, and that kind of just built this big GitHub resource. And then eventually I started wanting to start with community. And I was working with Consumption at one point. We were building he was building an image generator, like front-end image generator. We weren't entirely sure how or what that was going to lead to. But what's happened at this point is I've created the Discord server, and then Data Void has a bot, and that bot is on the Discord server. And who else? A few other people have joined into the Discord. So Saturn Series has joined in. So they're providing input. The way that the Discord server works is what I would like to do, or what I'm trying to do, is bring writers into one common area. So and then break out into communities. But I believe that all of these new tools like Morphic and Runway and Pika, I think and I believe that the stories have to be built first, and then you can use those tools. And the current industry, from my perspective, is kind of fragmented at the moment. And I believe that if more writers are pulling towards AI and open source and collaboration, there is a method that could happen, and Chris has promoted this before, which is Web3, Film3, AI plus blockchain, kind of changing the current traditional system towards that kind of ecosystem. But it all starts with writers. It all starts with community.
If I may ask a question, because you've said a lot of things that I kind of had to ingest for a little bit. When you said writer, could you specify exactly what kind of writer we're talking about? Because they come in so many flavors, you know?
Yeah. I went to Toronto Film School, so I took screenwriting, and I also took the production side. And that's where I'm coming from, is from the screenwriting perspective. But that's not to say that novels, any type of content that's written, I believe falls into the same bucket, which is story and storytelling. It's just, I guess, from what I've gotten from film school, is that the structure piece. And I have a background of IT for 20 years and did a lot of infrastructure and structuring the networks. So I come from a background more on the structure side of things. So that's where I come from.
Okay, thanks for clarifying. Because to be honest, as far as the writer title goes, I genuinely think that it's going to go out the window sooner than later in terms of like both a career and I'd argue even a skill set, because so much of what writing entails nowadays, it's so divorced from what large language models enable.
Yeah, we'll see. You never know. I think that there's still always going to be a place for getting your ideas into the computer and then cleaning those ideas up that come out of the computer. So maybe it's a little bit of reciprocity. But, you know, Wiz, you're new up here. Why don't you tell us about yourself? In addition to the other people that are hanging out, if you would like to come up, please feel free to join the conversation. This is a hangout. Chris, you got your hand raised too, actually, I see.
The thing that I really liked about Brian's whole situation, just the reason why I kind of gravitate towards it, especially as an idea, is it's open sourcing more of the process to get to these narratives and stuff like that, and kind of utilize AI as that companion along the way. Because as it builds this type of like database on this, and if you go into this Discord server, I didn't know Brian had a background in IT, but it totally makes sense. Because I could definitely see all my IT guys in how labeling is perfect. Everything has its own place and channel. It's really, really fucking cool. But I think a part that I like about the open source to the AI part is how to open source that process. And that's what's really kind of cool about this idea, and why like I'm laughing when, you know, when Wiz was talking, because it's like, I get what you're saying, but the other part is like, I think that even with large language models, there's the companionship level that's just going to be so standard there. And this is kind of why things like Brian's project, I think, are important, because even if you're a maxi on the AI situation, open sourcing how story is built only, you know, builds your case that much better. But on the other hand, like if you're a writer and you want to actually still write, regardless of what the market tells you or shows, then, you know, this is a really good way to show how you could superpower what your process already is. And that's just kind of the two things that I liked about Brian's situation.
Overlook, you're new, you're hanging out, and you have a hand raised.
Hi, Michael. I'm just trying to figure out who actually I follow to have arrived here. Is it Nicholas? Let me see. It is Nicholas. Hello, Nicholas. How's things?
Yeah, well, he dropped down. I think he maybe had
he's a dropped call down. Okay, no problem.
But he's still hanging out, you know. So, feel free to promote your work or ask questions or talk about anything you like.
I was going to just offer something, hopefully constructively contrarian, which is that I don't know if anyone's familiar with a Tolstoyan approach to writing, but there's with regard to the involvement of AI in this, it's still I think up in the air. But do we have any Tolstoy fans in the in the house? Any show of hands for Tolstoy?
That's what she did, bro.
Sorry, I heard something, but I didn't understand you. What was that again?
It was in a positive manner. I do like me some Tolstoy from time to time.
Okay, great. Well, basically, the basic thesis of Tolstoy, and if anyone wants to fine-tune this, feel free, because I'm not an expert in the guy, but basically the notion is that whatever an artist is, and we don't have to get too complex about that, but you know, someone who's making something for someone else, essentially, that an artist somewhere felt something, so they had an experience, or they witnessed something, or they were in a certain place, they felt something, and the only reason they didn't take a photo or you know, try and do a brass rubbing or try and capture what they saw, but what they do is they took that feeling that they had, and then they went and constructed something which is entirely different from what they saw, but it was put together in a way which was intended for the reader in Tolstoy's case, or in film it would be a viewer, and I guess for music it would be a listener, and so on, that they build this thing which is designed to evoke something like that original feeling that happened way back in the beginning of the process, and that there's no kind of direct connection, there's no if-then. It's that the artistry is in putting together something which is kind of an end run. It's not a direct line. And I think the best example I can think of just quickly would be perhaps something like Fellini in filmmaking. So Federico Fellini with La Dolce Vita and 8½, this kind of thing. His films have this kind of strange, kind of dreamlike, riotous kind of quality, which is tinged with tragedy, but also you know, there's a very positive human kind of foundation beneath all of it. And people viewing his stuff have this great range of responses, which indicates something a bit like a Rorschach, I guess. But there's a structure to it in the sense that people are not just coming back with crazy reports about, you know, their emotional state or their ideas. So there is some structure to it. I think a more modern example might be David Lynch in filmmaking. So, I mean, his tone is darker. His view of humanity is a bit more jaded, I guess. But in literature, there's many examples as well. And I just wanted to raise that up because I'm not predicating this, obviously, on AI or the idea of human collaboration by electronic means. But this is kind of a solitary kind of idea that I'm getting at here, and it also breaks this notion of a direct line between, well, here's a person that is referring to themselves as an artist who experiences X and then tries to, you know, capture X in a bottle or some sort of, I guess it would be some sort of tree sap, which is then fossilized and becomes, something which can then be turned into a piece of jewelry, this kind of idea, but it's much more indirect, and that there's no apparent link between one and the other, and yet there is this hope, sometimes justified on the part of the artist, that this end run will result in something like revivification of the original feeling, but in someone else. That's the basic idea. So if anyone has any thoughts about that rather complicated kind of indirect notion, I'd be very interested. If AI would play a part, I mean, AI is very good, of course, at spawning, connections. We're not really spawning them. It's just reproducing connections that we've already patterned for it in terms of, what is it now? About a generation of internet use and many, many, many generations of text, which has been given, has been used as training data. But, that spawning of networks of signification, perhaps there's a link there, but even then, it seems like it might be a brute force type situation. Whereas, artistry is about selectivity. It's about what you don't choose. There's a taste component. I'm not sure that we're getting taste yet out of AI. But anyway, there's a whole bundle of stuff that is a little bit contrarian in terms of the tone, I think, of the space. But might, I don't know, maybe it'd be fruitful and might spark ideas. Anyway, cheers.
No, I'm fully on board with the Butlerian jihad. And the faster we get through this era of AI, the faster we can tear it all back down again. in the sense of the last point you were making, though, I do think that we need to give more thought or more development to AI that curates, and maybe less to the generative sense, because it does parrot out a lot of things and it's not necessarily selecting for grade. And that might be part of the issue with when people talk about hallucination in general, because we're getting everything mixed in together there and not necessarily saying like, I only want, you know, this level of feedback. And that level can be, you know, high quality or low quality. Chris, what were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, that's actually the next step. You know, it's agents. And agents don't work by themselves, agent groups. It'll be, you know, there'll be one to do kind of a base curation based on parameters, and then the next one and the next one. And honestly, that's what's going to be coming about. Like anyone who doesn't really in the AI space, you know, this is why analysis, I said, is one of the greatest things that AI does. And then if you fine tune it for analysis, it's even more amazing. Like you fine tune it for novels or screenplays or this or that, it's going to be really exceptional at doing it. You know, there are things that a human probably could do that it's not necessarily going to be the same. It's not a matter of better or worse. It's just not the same. And then that's what's coming. Like that's the next step. And the problem is that, you know, once that starts to happen, it's where, you know, it's where we start to lose a little bit of like what we had previously. And that's where it's kind of scary of what could happen. But then again, like this happens every technological fucking jump ahead.
Kiev, what I'm looking forward to is like a really good AI that can just convert your book into a screenplay. Make it good.
They already exist, as a matter of fact. Granted, they're quite technical, but the thing about large language models, at least as far as I'm aware, right, is that structurally the benefit of having one is that it effectively allows you to tap into the totality of the data set that you've published. So say, for example, you were to build your own custom one, where it's effectively trained on the totality of your speech. It could be your writing, it could be the text you've sent to people, or even you literally speaking. You could basically turn that into an engine to then build other stuff from. And you know, it's gonna come down to the intent, and more importantly, the scale of what you're trying to reach there. Because OpenAI, unfortunately, fortunately, depending on who you ask, they're the top dog in this industry. And it seems to me they're positioning themselves to become the next vanguard of media, as based on, you know, the current news with Sora and everything.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, I like some of the examples that are on Sora. There's some things that I think it isn't really doing as well as what we might dream that it is. Reading some of the reports of people that have had hands-on experience with it, you know, they address some of the difficulties in getting consistency, and that's not a new thing. You know, that we've been working with image generation for 2 years, and it's still a process. You know, there are things that have simplified it, like Midjourney. But even within that, there's still X number of issues that have to be addressed. We've been going for like an hour and a half. I usually only do this for an hour. I'm not cutting you guys off. But at the same time, if there are any remaining points or remaining things that people have questions of, Julian, I know you just came up, so I don't want to cut you short. And I would advise you to chime in with any thoughts you had, because you were sitting down there for a little while, and usually, you know, you come up a little earlier. But we'll give it a little bit longer, and then the recorder is at an hour and 25 minutes now, so this is getting to be a long episode, and I'm, you know, we'll be back in 2 weeks to do it all again, and everybody's welcome to join then as well, you know, and happy to have you and field your questions and facilitate the dialogue and offer a chance to promote the work that you're doing. And, you know, in 2 weeks, you know, who knows where we'll all be, you know, what we'll be putting out and releasing or working on and having questions about or difficulties with. And I'm glad that everybody has kind of come from all these different angles today to discuss it together.
I was looking at Open Story. What's his name? Open Story Hub's profile.
Yeah, you should. You should maybe join his Discord. It might be something that's useful for you. I'm in there. I joined. He invited me. And I would say that as it continues to develop, it will turn into a greater resource. But the best part about it is that it's in such a new phase of its existence that it, as you participate and you join in this very early phase, you can have such a direct hand on shaping what it will become in the future. So that's something to consider. You know, very responsive and receptive to input and wants to create a community that works for the people that are there and make it the thing that everybody needs it to be, whatever that shape might be as well. Wiz, how is it?
Yeah, so a couple of things I wanted to clarify from what I've said earlier regarding, you know, being a writer thing. At the end of the day, it is a subjective topic that honestly doesn't just extend to writing. It's a bunch of artists that I'm aware of talk about that all the time. But if I'm going to hone in on writing specifically, I can draw from my personal experience. I've written for as long as I can remember. And not only that, I'm actually a polyglot. I can speak 5 languages fluently. And what I noticed is that over the course of my time being alive, which it's a little, you know, over 3 decades now, I turn to writing a lot for therapy in a lot of ways. And that's something I can say without a doubt that I don't get interfacing with ChatGPT or any other such language models. And that's simply because, call it woo-woo and what have you, but it has no soul in it. You know what I'm saying? It's one of these things where, for as poor as I am in terms of like human and machine interaction, I do think that the core of the human experience is something to not be neglected along the way. And that's actually part of why I advocate so much about ethical usage of these tools to begin with. Being someone who comes from a place where such tools, you know, typically come years, if not decades later. Because for context, for those that may not know about me, I actually come from South America. And while you guys got to play on the internet in the 90s, we didn't really get to properly get involved until the early 2010s. You know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of gap we're talking about. And when you introduce AI into the picture, it's only a matter of time before that gap divides even further if we're not careful. Storytelling-wise, anyway, I do think that there's a lot of stories that are worth telling. And there's going to be the difference between the people that actually have lived experiences, rich experiences to share, to hopefully teach other humans. And then there are going to be those people who only just use it as effectively what a blender does. And sometimes a blender makes cool smoothies, but as far as I can tell, not all smoothies are made equal. That's the point I'm getting at.
Fair. Reasonable. Definitely. Appreciate people joining in from all over the world or wherever you are and find yourself today. You're welcome to offer your perspective. All the same. Any final thoughts? Do you guys want to say hello, say goodbye to each other? Any last notes?
Yeah, Wiz, did you say you're from South America or you're in South America?
Well, I'm both.
Where are you?
Do you know Panama?
I do.
That's right around that. Most people don't. Most Americans I talk to, anyway, whenever I get into like anything lower than the equator, they have no idea what I'm talking about. That's why usually I don't bother going into specifics. But glad you paid attention in geography school, man. That's refreshing.
Well, I live in Peru. I'm Peruvian. I'm in Peru, and I'm from there. It's the same things. That's why my ears kind of perked up when you said you were in South America. I was like, huh? Wonder where.
I don't see a lot of my kind out here, to be honest. It's a lot of people from Silicon Valley and really the U.S. in general, and also Europe. I follow a bunch of Japanese folks, and actually, briefly, I'll mention that if you folks are actually interested in seeing what the peak of what that tech can do, tune into what the Japanese folks are doing with it, because as far as I'm aware, currently manga authors, that is, you know, people that write graphic novels, they figured out a way to build a pipeline that can effectively write a manga for you and draw alongside it too. And it's been pretty interesting to see their response to it. They seem pretty excited. There's a lot of potential that comes with that. And I'm saying this as someone who I've always been a big fan of mangas in general, and one of the most influential mangas of all time, Ghost in the Shell. You know, like, I think it's only a matter of time before we get more of that, you know, based on, you know, what the Japanese are doing with these tools.
Yeah, I would agree. For anybody looking for Japanese programming in English or insight into the culture, you can tune in to NHK World. That is where I watch the Grand Sumo Tournament every 2 months. March was the last tournament. The next one will be in May. Very much looking forward to that. Had a absolute great tournament. Rookie coming up through the ranks, crushing it. Fastest to win the Emperor's Cup. Love it. Over the last couple of years, and I'm just going to go off for a second here, Hakuho retired, and it created a big vacuum in the upper levels of Makauchi, which is like above Juryo, that rank, the top professional ranks. And his retirement has created this vacuum, and Terunofuji, I believe, was elevated to Yokozuna prematurely, okay? And now you've got all this young talent coming in and just ripping it up. Now is a great time to get into sumo. I just want to let everybody know, if you are looking for an inroad to sumo, this is a fantastic time to do it. All the same, hey guys, thanks for hanging out with us. We'll be back in 2 weeks. This podcast will be loaded up the Monday before the next session, and we'll be back here. You're more than welcome to join us, and if you have new work to promote and discuss, obviously that'll be the time to do it. If you have questions or complications, happy to talk about them as well. I do appreciate you hanging out with us today and want you to enjoy the rest of your day, the rest of your week. There's a bunch of links up above. I would say, you know, open those up now, because once I close this down, I don't record the sessions live on Twitter. I record them locally and then put them out as podcasts. The last episode was put up on Sunday evening. It is up there. It's also on my timeline. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk again before too long. Have a wonderful day.
Have a nice day, everyone.